And like the title implies, we'll take you around the conference. Some big-time basketball news on the men's side. Another volleyball schedule release that'll give you some sort of context for what we might be looking at when it comes to the Bulls' volleyball schedule. In fact, we can tell you a certain team exactly when they'll play them, since now they've announced it. Interesting stuff from East Carolina women's basketball. Trust me, when you hear it, you'll know what I'm talking about. As we talked about on Bulls Beat, the conference Thursday issued its all-academic honorees, and while the USF athletes perform well in the classroom to the tune of a school record 254, definitely want to give credit to the winner as far as the overall number, Cincinnati, with 354. If you want to see every name, no, we will not be listing the 3,010. That's the total number. Every one of those 3,010 listed in a story on theamerican.org. It is kind of fun to see, and we every now and then touch on the sports that are quote-unquote satellite sports with other conferences, schools actually playing in the American when it comes to certain sports like women's lacrosse. If you didn't know, the Florida Gators are in the American in women's lacrosse. They made it to the national quarterfinals this year. They've dominated in that sport. Also, definitely will give you an excuse if you did not know that San Diego State and Sacramento State are members of the American in, I'll give you a second, what sport do you think it is? Here's a clue. We don't have it at USF. That would be women's rowing. San Diego State actually put 34 on the all-academic. Old Dominion plays lacrosse as well and women's rowing. So, yeah, theamerican.org has everything. It also tells you which teams were named for tops in their sport. Simply put, whoever had the best total grade point average. East Carolina, really good at baseball, has kind of been the dominant program in the league the last couple of seasons. Will make it 6 years in a row that the East Carolina baseball team has also led the American in overall team GPA, so they certainly deserve credit for that. Cincinnati actually led the way as far as most, and it makes sense with 354 individuals, as far as most teams leading the way, six of them. As a matter of fact, if you're curious, football, Houston, men's basketball, Tulane, and women's basketball, Tulsa. As far as the individuals, some names you'll recognize, and like with Georgina Corrick being named as far as the all-conference, regardless of sport, scholar-athlete, female of the year, you have to do something not just in the classroom, but to stand out on the ball field as well. Shane Bouchel, the quarterback for SMU, was football's All-American Athletic Conference Scholar Athlete of the Year. From baseball, it was Alec Trela of Memphis. Men's basketball, Chris Vogt, a starter for the Cincinnati Bearcats. And some of the other names you might recognize from men's soccer, UCF goalkeeper Yannick Edel. Men's tennis, UCF again with Gabriel DeCamps. So again, all of that information is at theamerican.org. Now, we said that this was something being reported. It is official. Larry Brown is on the men's basketball coaching staff at Memphis. That's right, 81-year-old Larry Brown, the only head coach to win an NCAA national championship and an NBA championship with the Kansas Jayhawks in 1988, with the Pistons in 2004, and a Hall of Famer since 2002, is now on the staff of Penny Hardaway. 26 seasons as an NBA head coach. That's hard to believe because I think about him honestly as a college coach. So I guess that would make sense, the fact that he's up there in age. But he is going to be down there on the Memphis Tigers bench. That is going to be a fun story to follow in the league. Couple of standouts for their team announced they are going to exit the NBA draft process and return. The big one is certainly from SMU with Kendrick Davis, a unanimous all-conference first-teamer, averaged 19 points to lead the league last year. That is a big deal. Now, UCF is welcoming back, and this is one where you're thinking, really? You're going to turn pro? But to make it official, C.J. Walker announced he has withdrawn his name from the NBA draft process. He's the transfer from Oregon, who averaged 4 points with the Ducks, and averaged 7 points last year, 5 times scored double figures. Figured that was good enough to get him into the pros, but no, he is going to come back to college. As we said on Bulls Beat, the Bulls expected to announce their soccer and volleyball. Those are the other fall sports schedules we will have live play-by-play coverage for you of. Until then, we can actually start to piece it together, at least when it comes to conference, because of the fact that other schools in the American are doing so. Earlier in the week, we told you about SMU. Cincinnati actually will begin its conference schedule at USF. So I think we know what the Bulls' first conference match is going to be. That's Friday, September the 24th, and that's at 7 o'clock. And it looks like the league is going back to this whole travel partner thing. Whenever a team comes to play the Bulls, they will also be playing UCF either 2 days before or after. Indeed, Cincinnati will be going to UCF. And if you look at it, yeah, those same two teams hit up Cincinnati the same weekend. November the 5th is when the Knights play them, and November the 7th, which is a Sunday, is the Bulls. 2 years ago, Cincinnati won the conference. Last year, it was also very interesting because the way the American has it set up, if you win in volleyball, a conference tournament, you get to host it the next season, and the Bearcats got to host it, but they weren't playing because Temple took them down to get that second spot behind UCF in the East Division. I would imagine it's going to go back to how it was 2 years ago when the divisional alignment began, the top two from each division along with the next best two. Last year it was just four teams, but I think we'll go back to the six-team setup in 2021. Don't know for sure on that yet, but it does seem to make sense. UCF is the only conference team that made the NCAA tournament. Therefore, Cincinnati just has three NCAA teams from last year on its schedule. But one of them is the national champion, Kentucky, and the other, yeah, they're going to get them out of the way early, is the team that Cincinnati begins its season against, Dayton. That is on August the 27th at an event that includes Texas State and, yes, Kentucky. They're also the Bearcats playing at Notre Dame. Interesting that while others, like SMU, have four pre-conference multi-team events, it only looks like Cincinnati has two, so maybe the Bulls will fall somewhere in between that. Full schedule at GoBearcats.com. And when I say it looks like USF's first conference matchup will be on Friday, September the 24th, we can assume that's going to be the case. But I should mention that SMU's first conference matchup is actually 2 days before. Normally, it's going to be Friday, Sunday for your two conference matchups. But in SMU's case, it's Wednesday, Friday for that first weekend. Frankly, not exactly sure why that is. A couple more notes before we wrap it up. Speaking of schedule, the Tulsa men's basketball team announced on Wednesday it will be playing in an event in Daytona Beach, the Sunshine Slam at the Ocean Center, an eight-team event that will include the host, of course, Bethune-Cookman. Kind of a diverse situation. You've got some Northeast schools, Boston College, Rhode Island, Holy Cross, and Bryant, which is also in Rhode Island. And the other two are Air Force and Utah. I told you there was an interesting note with East Carolina women's basketball story on the Daily Reflector, where basically their coach Kim McNeil speaks about how and why they have brought in so much size on the front court, and specifically points to their loss against USF. Said, we played UCF two really close games, and when you look at how they took over the game is they started pounding us inside. It was the same with South Florida, and those were the top two teams in our league. We were beating South Florida in the fourth quarter. Then all of a sudden, they start pounding us on the inside and killed us on offensive rebounds with their two bigs. So they brought in four transfers, including a 6'5 player from Kansas, Brittany Franklin, 6'4 from Clemson, Tyler Bennett. So just remember that when the Bulls play East Carolina. And we'll remember this. The Major League Baseball draft starts on Sunday. It's just the first round Sunday night, so maybe we'll have some guys from the conference to tell you about on Mondays around the American. I'm going to guess one of them is named Gavin Williams from East Carolina. That'll do it for the Friday show. Thanks for listening. I'm Derek Sharp.